Thank you, worship team. Today's scripture reading comes from Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 to 14. If you like, I'll give you a moment to turn to it. I'd actually like to invite you guys to close your eyes as I read out this passage. There's so much imagery in it that you have to try and paint a picture for it for yourself in your heads. So I'll give you a moment if you want to read and follow along. But if you're okay, close your eyes and listen. Chapter 37, The Valley of Dry Bones. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. As I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews upon them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them. And they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Verse 11. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. Amen. Let us pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, this Bible that we get to read and learn from, Lord. And I praise and thank you for the message that we are about to receive. I pray that you will speak through Keith and that you will open our hearts to truly understand what you're trying to say through him, Lord. But not only that, we understand, but we are able to apply it to our daily lives and we can have some real effect on those around us. And Lord, at this time, we also do want to pray for our church as well and pray for our church transitions. I pray that you will guide our leadership, guide our deacon board and our pastors as they decide on the future of our church, Lord. May you give them wisdom and guidance and patience to work with each other. And may you remind them that their only goal is to glorify you. And Lord, we also want to pray for what's going to happen today. We have an AGM in the afternoon, and I pray that as us brothers and sisters come together, I pray that we can come together in unity and work together and have patience to work with each other and to talk and discuss what we want to see our church doing in the future. And also want to pray for congregation members who may be sick or have family members that are sick right now. Lord, you know who they are. Please allow us to support them. Let them know that we are here for them to support them, and may they be a support for each other in these difficult times. I pray that you are able to show your glory through them as well, so others may know how amazing you truly are. And lastly, we have to pray for our children downstairs and in the nursery, as well as those going through Sunday school and worship right now, Lord. And I pray that even if they don't fully understand what is being taught to them at the moment, I pray they can see the joy through their leaders, see the Holy Spirit through their leaders and teachers, Lord, and may they be able to, in turn, show that to their friends and family so that they can be a great testimony for you as well, even at their amazing young age. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, And we pray everything in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. All right, guys, and as I said earlier, I hope you are excited for today's sermon. Today's sermon is about spiritual renewal, as we had just read in the passage, about how God will breathe life into dry bones. The sermon comes from our good friend, Pastor Keith, who you may already know if you went to Super Camp, or you've been here for a while, since he has been preaching at those as well. He is the English pastor at Vancouver Pacific Grace, although they like to be called just Pacific Grace because they're the original. Whatever, guys. And fun fact, did you know he is an avid foodie? If you have him on Instagram, you can tell already. And I know this because I have heard, tell me if I'm wrong now, Keith, the other week you waited about 1 hour in line for fried chicken. And it was all right. You can confirm that when you come here. Please, everyone, give him a warm welcome for Pastor Keith.
Good morning. Thanks, Rosie. It was an hour and a half, actually. I waited in line and with a bunch of hipsters waiting in line for this one-off pop-up fried chicken shop that opened. It was open for 4 days, so come on, give me a break. This is cool. I'm glad to be here with you guys. I'm happy to be here. I know I feel loved, by the way, because like I come up here and I got like two mugs of water here, but it's like one is cold and one is hot, so like it's like a therapeutic spa bath for my throat. I go cold and then hot and then hot and then cold. Anyways, thanks for having me back here. Thanks for the invitation, Reverend Paul. That means I didn't screw too badly during summer camp, but I'm glad to be here. But on behalf of my senior pastor, Xavier Law, bring you greetings from Pacific Grace. Yes, I said it, Pacific Grace. Vancouver Pacific Grace, if that makes you feel better. But it's good to be with you guys again. This morning, as you heard from our scripture reading, we're talking about Ezekiel 37. And this morning, I don't know where all of you are at on your spiritual journeys, but have you ever felt dry in your relationship with Jesus? Have you ever felt like you're in a place where it's like, man, I just don't feel God anymore. I don't feel His presence anymore. Everything just kind of feels dead. I feel like I'm in this rut that I can't really get out of. And God's not present. He's not speaking to my life. I mean, have you guys ever experienced that? I mean, who hasn't, right? Who hasn't? All of us have. But what does it take for our lives to be renewed, right? We always kind of searching for that time where we get hit by this magic lightning bolt where it's like, oh, everything's good again. This is what we're going to be. We're looking for this moment. But what does it actually take for us to be renewed? So this is the kind of question that we're going to be asking this morning. What does it mean to be renewed? What keeps us? And what on top of that, what keeps us from experiencing this kind of renewal? In our passage, we have this amazing image, as Rosie was talking about, this great imagery that comes up, especially when you close your eyes to listen to it or to hear it read to us, of God taking something lifeless and breathing life into it. Right? This is what renewal looks like. God taking something that's dead in the dirt, 6 feet under, and making it alive again. This is the miracle that God works in our lives. This image of breathing life into people is just one of the big metaphors, right, that for how God works to renew us, to rejuvenate us, to give us new life, right? Just give me an example here. In the beginning, God made man out of a pile of dirt, and then what did he do? He breathed life into it. Later on, in John 20, Jesus breathed life on his disciples, and what he told them, what he said was, receive the Holy Spirit. Breathing new life into dead things is what God does. It's what he does. It's his specialty. But let me walk you through a bit of the background through all of this in Ezekiel 37. So Ezekiel, if you guys don't really know, he was a prophet during the time of great turmoil in the history of Israel. David and Solomon, that was a couple hundred years before the time of Ezekiel. Those were the good old days, right? People look back, man, when David was around, when Solomon was around, those were the good old days. Solomon, the kingdom had tons of money. It was unified. They built this massive temple. After Solomon died, right, there's all this infighting. And so so this, the kingdom of Israel got separated between, and there was the like 10 of the tribes became the kingdom of Israel, and then two of them became the kingdom of Judah. All right, so things were terrible. And so after the time of David and Solomon, this is one of the reasons why, there was a long string of kings who were just terrible kings. There's bad kings. Right before this time, there's a king by the name of Manasseh who kind of got the ball rolling with the spiritual degradation of this nation, right? What he did was, instead of worshiping God, Yahweh, what he started to do was he started building up altars to all these pagan gods. He brought back paganism into the nation of Israel, right? That's essentially what he did. And after that, king after king after king, all these kings turned to idols, turned away from Yahweh, the God of Israel, turned away from the God who brought them out of Egypt and gave them the land of their own, right? And if you read 1 and 2 Kings, you'll see the records of all these guys, all these kings, and a whole list of them. And most of them will say, what he did was evil in the sight of the Lord. All of these kings, a lot of these kings. A couple of these kings were pretty good. They tried to reform the nation spiritually. They tried to say, let's get back to worshiping Yahweh. No more idols. Let's destroy the idols. Let's turn back to worshiping Yahweh. Guys like Josiah, good kings, faithful to God. But they would die off and their sons would take over, or another king would take over, and they just bring back these old patterns of evil and disobedience. Right. So in comes Nebuchadnezzar. We've heard of this guy before. He's the king of Babylon. He comes in, takes control of Judah. And then the king of Judah at the time, he says, man, I don't think I want to be under control, under your control, Babylon. And so what he does next is he goes to Egypt, and he goes to Egypt, and he says, hey, can you help us out? Babylon's trying to take over our country. Can you help us out? Nebuchadnezzar's like, no, that's not cool, man. That's not cool. And so what he does is he basically marches into Jerusalem, blows the city up, right? Not literally, because they didn't have bombs back then. But he blows up Jerusalem. And then what he does, he sends the elite of the country. He sends the royal family, all the royal officials, all the smart people, all the rich people, all the prominent citizens. What he does, he takes them out of Jerusalem and sends them into exile, and then keeps them captive in Babylon, essentially. Right? There's about 10,000 people, the cream of the crop of society. It's like us, if we marched into, I'm just using the States because it's better. We marched into Washington, took all the power brokers, all the most powerful people in the country, which means that they're most powerful people in the world, and you take them out, and then you take over Washington, and you send all of the smart people, President of the United States, his cabinet, all these people, the government, the Congress, Senate, all these things. I've been watching House of Cards a little bit, so I can send all these people, and then you put them into Russia. That's essentially what's going on here, right? And so, you know, like prophet like Daniel and his buddies, these guys were part of this group of captives. They get sent into Babylon. Another one of these captives was the prophet Ezekiel, whose words we're reading right now, who eventually, Ezekiel settles in this Jewish colony in Babylon, kind of alongside this river. All of this to say, God gave Israel everything. He gave them everything. He rescued them from slavery, 400 years of slavery in Egypt. He brought them out of Egypt. He gave them freedom. He gave them this land that was promised them, this land that was flowing with milk and honey. It was theirs. He gave them this national identity, this identity that they've never had before. He's saying, we are Israelites. We are God's people. All of this was a gift from God. God said, I will be your God. You will be my people. That was the covenant that God made with the people of Israel. And God was like, if you turn away from me, all I ask of you is just that you turn your face to me. All I ask of you is just to obey my law. All I ask of you is just to be my people, right? And I said, if you turn away from me and stop looking to me as your God, you're gonna lose it all. You're going to lose it. And so what did they do? They turned away from God, and they lost it all. And so Ezekiel, he's speaking into the situation. He's speaking to a people who's lost it all, a people who's lost hope. God gave this people land, and now that's been taken away from them. He gave them a prosperity. Things were going well. Things were awesome. They were making money. They were successful. They were making children. They were growing their families. Everything was going well. That's taken from them. God gave them this national identity as his people. No one else in the world was his people, but Israel was. He gave them this national identity, and now that's gone too. Because life for them was never going to be the same again. There is no hope. There's only loss. Maybe some of you are feeling like this now. That in your relationship with Jesus, your relationship with the church even, you feel like, man, you've been displaced. You feel like you're in a bit of a, you're kind of an exile. Sent away in this far off land. There's this disconnect that you can't understand. That maybe sometime in your life, at one point in your life, everything felt right. Everything felt incredible, man. You felt close to Jesus. The church was like a home to you. You belonged, and you felt like you're part of something significant. You felt significant. And then something happened along the way, right? You're living life, and now everything's changed. Maybe now you feel this disconnect from God, and now it's like, man, I used to feel so close to you, Jesus, and now you feel so distant from me. You haven't spoken into my life. I can't sense your presence in my life like I used to. I don't see you working in my life like you used to. Man, are you even there? And because you feel this disconnect from God, you start to feel a disconnect from the church community a little bit. You're in an exile. You don't feel like you're home anymore. And then Ezekiel has this vision in chapter 37 of being taken by the Holy Spirit to this valley that was full of bones. And he looks around this valley and Ezekiel says, man, these bones are really, really dry. They must have been dead for a long time. Is this you? Are you these dry bones? On the outside, maybe it looks like everything's okay. But on the inside, you're dead. On the outside, you look fine. You're serving in all these ministries. You're a Sunday school teacher. You're a worship leader. You're a youth leader. But inside, man, you're just dried up. You're spent. You're all tapped out. Or maybe you've never actually been in a place where you've actually felt alive spiritually. Maybe you've just kind of gone through the emotions your whole life. Your parents have brought you to church, whatever it is. Never felt the joy of being in relationship with Jesus. But you're here this morning because you're trying to figure things out. And if this is you, Ezekiel has great, great hope for you. Because he says that the dry bones of our spirit can be brought back to life. That our lives can be renewed. So there's three ways that we'll see how that happens. The first is renewal requires repentance. And then we'll talk about renewal requires hearing the truth. And then renewal comes from the Holy Spirit. So the three things I want to talk about is renewal requires repentance. Renewal requires hearing the truth. And renewal comes from the Holy Spirit. So all you keeners out there, if you're taking notes, those are the three points I'm hitting on. All right. Renewal requires repentance. Verse 11. God explains to Ezekiel that the bones are the whole house of Israel. Okay, they said, our bones are dried up. The Israelites, this is the bones talking, and the bones are representing Israel. And they said, our bones are dried up. Our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Okay, sometimes in order for us to feel alive again, we need to realize how truly dead we really are. The word that's used for cut off is like this metaphor for death that they use quite often back in the day. In other words, the Israelites were saying, we've lost hope. We've been crushed so badly that we've lost our lives. We're literally dead. We're cut off from experiencing life again. A friend of mine, we'll call him Gerardo. Every time like a pastor comes up and says like changes a name on someone, they're telling a story about someone they know. They change the name. I thought you know Gerardo's a funny name, so I felt like I'm gonna give the name. They usually use like something like Bill, right, or like Frank, but we're gonna use Gerardo. Gerardo grew up going to church, is a friend of mine. His family, they were all Christians. He was a Christian. One day he stopped going to church sometime around end of university years. A few years back, Gerardo was embezzling money from his job. And he saw an opportunity and he took it. The reason why he was stealing money from his job was to fuel his gambling addiction, his partying, and his rampant materialism. He would basically blow tons of cash on booze and gambling at the casino, and then he would go on cocaine binges where he'd start one day and wake up in a house he doesn't know 2-3 days later. But this stealing would go on for a course of over a year or so. So one day, Gerardo gets a visit from the police, and he gets served this document, basically telling him that his employer has been on to him for some time, has been investigating him, and is pressing charges against him because he stole upwards of $50,000. In that moment, though, my friend Gerardo, his life could not sink any lower. Right? In that moment, he knew how far he'd fallen and the person that he'd become. And the only thing he could think of to do was to pray. He was like, man, it took me so long, and I had to sink so this low in order for me to give my life back to God. And when he finally did, God renewed his life, right? Because finally he saw how utterly hopeless he was. But God gave him hope. He was these dry bones, literally, but God breathed new life into him again. And he was never the same after that. And God helped him pick up the pieces of his life, right? He had to go through all the legal issues that were the consequences of his crime and his sin. But eventually he settled his case and was able to pay back a lot of the money that he stole. He successfully went through addiction counseling. He fell in love with Jesus again. God took these dry bones and slowly put flesh back on them, put skin on it, and breathe life into it. And sometimes it's really, really easy for us to want to avoid dealing with the things in our lives that we're just not proud of, right? And I think this is what a lot of what was carrying Gerardo at this time. I mean, if we're struggling with something, maybe it's sin, maybe it's some kind of circumstance in life, the easiest thing for us to do is to try to avoid it and sweep it under a rug. To ignore it, right? My friend Gerardo ignored how lost he was, ignored his misery, and didn't want to confront his problems until it was way too late. And he had no choice but to come face to face with him because it just slapped him in the face. And it wasn't until he recognized how hopeless he was that he could realize the hope that he had in Jesus. For Israel, like my friend Gerardo, they had to be brought down to this point where they couldn't avoid their misery. They had to confront it head on. They couldn't avoid it anymore. They had to be brought to this place. And look, maybe your sin and my sin isn't as fully formed as Gerardo was. Maybe we're not addicted to gambling. Maybe we're not going on coke binges every weekend. But maybe we're thinking, man, I've never been that deep into sin. My sin is doesn't compare to that, doesn't even compute with that. But all of it, your sin, my sin, Gerardo's sin, all of that is rooted in the fact that we've been disconnected from God. We've disconnected ourselves from God, right? We have all of that in common, all of us, every single one of us. Gerardo's sin might have manifested itself way differently than what's happening in your life. But when it comes down to it, it comes from the same disconnect. I'm disconnected from God. I'm disconnected from my Father. This feeling of being cut off. In your own way, in my own way, we've turned away from God. We've exiled ourselves from Him. And so you have to ask yourselves, are you this valley of dry bones? Are you these dry bones? Are you so disconnected from God that you don't even realize that you're in your own exile? Is your relationship with Jesus so dried up that it's literally lifeless? You've flatlined. If you recognize this, this is what's going to happen next. You got to hear the truth. Renewal requires hearing truth. How does God give new life to the bones? What does he do? God could, he could have just said, stand up and walk, right? He snapped his fingers and all these bones would come back to life. But he doesn't. What does he do instead? Verse 4, he tells Ezekiel, he says, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And this is kind of stupid, but this is kind of funny to me, but because this is, I mean, just imagine you're Ezekiel for a second, and you're in this valley full of skeletons, right? First of all, I'd be peeing my pants, and I'd be freaked out. But then God tells you to prophesy to them, right? Tells him to prophesy to them, these bones. You're like, okay, what do we talk about? Like life insurance, right? Or he's telling jokes and be like, oh man, tough crowd. You're killing me here. Oh, geez. He's dead crowd. But God asked Ezekiel to preach to these bones, right? To preach the word of the Lord to these bones. And then that's what's going to give them new life. Hearing the truth, hearing the word of the Lord. Some of us here may be asking God to change us. But change us, man. Like, to make our situations better. But we're not interested in hearing his word, really. Not interested in hearing truth. We're asking God to snap his fingers and make everything better. We ask God, give us answers. Show us your will for our lives, man. Help me do well in life and I'll be happy. Like, we want God to snap his fingers and make everything better. But maybe though, there's a part of us that's afraid of what God has to say to us. Or maybe there's a part of us that doesn't want us to want to hear the truth, right? Because quite frankly, we don't agree with it. Or we don't want to believe it. We don't want to hear what God has to say. We just want him to make our lives better. We want God to just to snap his fingers and make our lives better. We want God to make our problems disappear. But we're reluctant to actually hear his word. I mean, how often do we actually pick up this book and mine the treasures that are written in here? Do we do that? How often do we hear the hard truths about God and how he wants us to live and just ignore it because, man, I just don't feel it. It doesn't work for me. Because you can't really have it both ways. We want a truth that feels good to me and benefits me, but we don't want a truth that could disrupt my life in any way. If you really want God to renew your life, if you really want God to transform you and change you, if you really want God to come and breathe new life into your dry bones, to refill the spiritual reservoir in your soul with fresh water, it has to disrupt your life, has to blow up your life in a way. Doesn't make sense otherwise. But you say, I want to experience God's presence in my life, but I don't necessarily want it to change me. I want God to transform my life, but I've got big plans for my life. I don't want God to affect them in any way. I don't have to change them for God. A pastor named David Platt used this illustration just to illustrate this point. And so say I'm scheduled to preach here, and service starts at 11 or 10 o'clock. And I don't show up. And then you're freaking out, and I don't know, you guys are trying to get in touch with me. And so about 11 o'clock, I roll in through these doors, and, you know, I look a little bit disheveled. And you're like, Keith, what happened, man? What happened to you? Why didn't you show up for a service? You're supposed to preach here. And then they're like, well, this funny thing happened on the way. I was coming here, and I got a flat tire, and so I pull in the side of the road, and I was changing it, and then this big truck came, and it hit me, and it hurt, right? And so you're like, what happened then? Well, you know, like, I picked up myself off the ground and changed my tire and drove over here, and that's why I'm late. And so you're looking at me, and so you look at me like, sure about that, right? And you'd know I was Something's wrong with my story. And why would that be? Because if you get hit by a truck, it's going to change you, right? You're not going to look the same afterwards. If we're having a true and a real encounter with the Word of God, the God of the universe who created everything, who sent his Son to die on the cross to save you, to rescue you, and breathe new life into you, you can't walk away without feeling like you've been hit by a truck. We can't walk away from experiencing the cross of Jesus Christ without looking like, and we can't experience God and encounter the cross of Christ and look like the same person like we were before. It's impossible. It doesn't make sense. If we believe that God is real, and that God is who he says he is, you have to hear the word of the Lord and believe in the truth of it. And it has to blow you up. Next thing, renewal comes from the Holy Spirit. So not only do we need to repent, not only do we need to hear the truth, we need the Holy Spirit to breathe life into us. In verse 8 it says, "And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, and there was no breath in them." So they looked like a person. There's skin on them. They looked like people. They didn't look like skeletons anymore, but there was no breath in them. There was no life in them. And God made a piece them all back together, but there was no life in them until the Holy Spirit came and gave them new life. In verse 11, it says, "And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live." Exodus 36 talks about how this works. "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. And from all your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." So what does it mean for us to have new life breathed into us? If you're not a Christian yet, it means that when we first believe, right, when we first come to faith, in comes Christ. His spirit is breathed into us. And as we said earlier in John 20, Jesus breathes life onto his disciples and sends his spirit into them. And so the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, comes into our souls, hearts, cleansing us, renews our spirit. We are given this spiritual resurrection. We're brought back from the dead spiritually. And because of that, we're given this new hope. We're born into this new hope because the resurrection of Jesus Christ means that we can have this spiritual resurrection. We can be brought back to life just like Jesus was brought back to life. And what this leads us to is that the Spirit gives us its new identity. He gives you an inheritance. You know that God loves you and accepts you because his Spirit is sent into you. It's breathed into you. You belong to him as his son or daughter. And it's like if you were a police officer, what would identify you? You have this badge. You have this uniform, right? The Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit in you is that mark that says who you are, who you belong to, who you represent, just like that badge says. This badge gives me an authority as a police officer. It tells the world who I am. The Holy Spirit is that mark on you. It's that badge on you. I belong to the Holy Spirit. I belong to Jesus Christ. He saved me. I represent the authority of Jesus Christ in this world. Right? And if we're Christians already, having new life breathe into us through the Holy Spirit means that we're always this constant renewal of our spirit through his spirit. If we feel like we've been dead spiritually for a long time, the Holy Spirit renews our spirits, giving us fresh hope, a rediscovery of joy in our lives, taking us out of exile and placing us back into the joy of relationship with Jesus. But we're going to go through our ups and downs. Just because we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts doesn't mean that we don't go through our ups and downs. We live this life here now. There are going to be times where we feel like Jesus is my lifeline and he's amazing and he's awesome. And I feel like, man, so in tune with the Spirit. But then there's other times, man, we're just bone dry. Maybe even now, for many of you, you're in this dry place. This wilderness, where you're just grasping at the straws of your faith. Take heart. Don't be afraid. Sometimes God leads us into this wilderness so that there's nothing more that we can do but depend on Him, to rely on Him. God says, I'm going to breathe my Spirit into you, and you're going to live. You might feel dead now. You might feel dry now, but I'm going to breathe new life into you, and you're going to live again. I'm going to take you out of exile and put you home again. Then you'll know that I am the Lord. Like my friend Gerardo, God used his circumstances in life to breathe new life into him through his Spirit. Was what he did bad? Yeah, man, it was terrible. Should never have happened. But because he went through this, right, he will know God in a way that he would never have known otherwise if he didn't go through this situation. His joy in life is that much greater because of how God led him through this valley, this wilderness of his. Because the scars you get in this life will only make your eventual joy that much greater. But then you ask, man, why do I have to go through this to know God? Why do I have to go through this valley of dry bones? Why do I have to go through this wilderness, this desert? I feel like so dry and dead all the time. Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to experience this in my life? No idea. I can't answer that. But I can tell you is that bad things are going to happen in this world. Bad things are going to happen in your lives. But God says, I will work for the good of those who love me. I'm going to take the bad things that you're experiencing you and make your eventual joy that much better, that much sweeter, that much greater. That's what God's going to do for you. Do you want God to renew your spirit? Do you want Him to breathe new life into you? It begins with repentance. You got to know how deep in sin you are. And it requires you to hear the truth of His word. It takes the Holy Spirit alone to do that work in you. He says, I have spoken. I have spoken and I will do it. Will you let Him? Will you let Him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. God, that You are a God who desires us to turn our faces to You. That we would know that You are the Lord. And that we simply aren't. So Lord, I ask God that You would breathe new life into us. If we're in a spiritually dry place, would You pick us up, bring us to streams of water, of living water, that we could drink again and be refreshed by Your Spirit in us. Lord, help us. Help us to find our way back to You, Jesus. Help us to live for You again. Help us, Lord. Amen.